Hi, this is Travis Robertson. Thank you for downloading the Lake Norman Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or would like to contact us, check out our website at lakenormancoc.org. We would also like for you to visit with us at a worship service. You are always welcome at the Lake Norman Church of Christ.
We've been talking about, does God exist? We've been looking at different proofs, different logical reasons to point us to the fact that God exists. And we have a few more that we will be looking at during the month of March. And one of the ones I want to focus on tonight is biblical inspiration. You know, if the Bible is inspired, then that points to God's existence. If it truly is His Word. We'll look at a few things that go along with this. Tonight we'll look at simply the claims for inspiration as we go through Scripture and look at how it claims that it is God's Word multiple times and in many different ways it makes this proclamation. And next week we'll look at the fact that the Bible is unique. Scripture is a very unique text. It's not something that is duplicated by anybody else. And it's when you look at it, when you look at science, when you look at archaeology, when you look at all these different things and the way people have studied this world and how it just seems to fit with Scripture is amazing. And I think that gives credence to the fact that this word must be from God, because if man wrote it 2,000 years ago, 3,000 years ago, and all these different things, then the primary thoughts of man would be the ones that would be found in the book, not the thoughts of God and what God would be giving. So we'll be looking at some of these different things. So what is inspiration? Simply put, inspiration is the process by which God enables men to speak and write His will without error. You know, the fact that God's will is written down for us, but it's not just that it's claiming to be from God, but it's also without error. There's no falsehood within it. There's nothing to say that it's lying to us. Or you could say, well, I mean, it says that here are all these kings, and I mean, as far as we can tell, nobody existed. You know, what's great about archaeology and some of those things is people have tried to make those claims. You know, that, well, you know, the Hittites just, they weren't a people. And then, lo and behold, a number of years ago, they found a settlement believed to be the Hittites as they studied it and dug it up. And so we'll notice some of those things as we go through this. But tonight, as we look at the inspiration of Scripture, it's the fact that God's Word has been written down and it is without error, without fallacy, that it is the truth. That's what inspiration means. It's, you know, every word is important. Every word has value within Scripture. So let's look at some of these claims. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. Some of these may be small on here to read, so you might want to have your Bibles in front of you to be able to look up some of these if it's too small on the screen. But 2 Timothy 3 verse 16, all Scripture is inspired by God. So there is a claim right from Scripture. All of it is inspired by God. And within that text, a lot of that is pointing towards the Old Testament Scripture, right? Because the New Testament really hasn't been all written yet. And so as we look at these quotes within the New Testament, it helps us understand some of this. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. Men spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And so we understand, okay, well, how did this happen? How did God's Word be written down by man and yet be without error? Well, because, as Peter points out, men spoke as they were moved by what? By who? The Holy Spirit. And so it helps us understand that God has been involved in every moment of writing His Word, of getting it down on, of course, for today, paper. Back then you had animal skins and you had papyrus and you had different other different things used to write it down with. Exodus chapter 20, well, sorry, I skipped one. Acts chapter 1, verse 16. The Holy Spirit foretold by the mouth of David. So here's a quote and then talking about the fact that the Holy Spirit foretold what? By who? How did this happen? What's the claim? That when David wrote, it was written by God. It was God's words. It was His word that was communicated with man. So we see the Holy Spirit working with David. Exodus chapter 24, verse 4, the Lord said to Moses, write down these words. Okay? Write down these words, Moses. It's important for you to write them down. Well, this helps us understand how inspiration, how this works within Scripture. God was on top of it. He was making sure His word was being written down by these men. Whether it was Moses, David, Peter, Paul, doesn't matter. These men were moved by His Spirit. 2 Samuel chapter 23 and verse 2. The Spirit of the Lord spoke by me, and His word was on my tongue. Notice the claim once again. The Spirit of the Lord used me to speak, right? So you see how the inspiration is happening. Jeremiah 36, verse 2. Write all the words I have spoken to you. How about Jeremiah 26 and verse 2? Do not omit a word. Not just write down these words, but don't mess it up. Don't miss a word. What's really neat, and I know I'm going off on this a little bit, is when you study how God's word made it to us today, and the fact that you had scribes and you had different people that were writing down God's word and making the copies of it. You think about it, people thought for a long time, there's no way that what we have today is anywhere close to what the apostles wrote, or anywhere close to what Moses wrote, or what any of these other people wrote, these prophets in the Old Testament. Those were the claims people were making. And when the Dead Sea Scrolls were found, that's when the headlines came out. But how big of a percentage is the Bible that we have today going to be off compared to these Dead Sea Scrolls? One of the biggest things they found out was the fact that it wasn't really off at all. I mean, there were some minor things that were seen within it, but it was down to just the smallest percentage. And it proved that we pretty much have the words of God and what we need. So it's pretty neat when you study this and look into it. But what I want you to, I don't know if you can see this or not, but 3,808 claims in the Old Testament alone of inspiration. And quotes that are just similar to the ones that I've given you. Whether it was the Spirit of the Lord spoke by me, or write down these words, don't omit a word, or thus saith the Lord. Any of those kinds of things is a claim to inspiration. That these are the words of God. I want you to take a moment, look at your Bible. Whether it's one that's here that the church provides, or whether it's your own Bible. Turn to the last page of your Old Testament. Turn to the last page of your Old Testament and look at how many pages there are in the Old Testament section of your Bible. Now for me, in mine, it's a little over 1,000, about 1,150 pages, I believe. Yeah, I've got 1,150 pages. And hopefully that number is correct, 3,808. It might be a little off based on the fact that you're having to count that many times. But if it's off by a few, that's okay. You think about that for a moment. I've got 1,150 pages in my Old Testament, but there's 3,808 claims of inspiration. How many times does that appear if you just divide it on a page? Over three times a page in my Bible, it appears. Well, do the math with your Bible. You might have more pages than I do of the Old Testament. You might have less. How many times a claim of inspiration appears in the Old Testament? That this was given by God. That this is God's word. That He said, write this down. The Spirit of the Lord spoke. It's pretty impressive when you think about that amount of claims within Scripture that this is from God. It's not like, you know, preachers like to quote from Timothy and from Peter, and we quote those passages, all Scripture is inspired by God, or whatever it might be, and we quote those ones. And so sometimes people think, well, those are the only ones. No. There are literally thousands of times in Scripture that you can point to and say, God's the one that's claiming, the Scripture's claiming it's from Him, over and over and over again. So it's a pretty big deal. It's pretty important. Another thing that we need to notice with inspiration is the very words used are from God. John chapter 8 and verse 28, Jesus said, I speak these things as the Father taught me. Right? And Jesus came and he would speak and he would teach, and the people were impressed by the authority in which he taught, and they were amazed by it. And people are questioning him, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, everybody's questioning his authority and where he's getting this from. And he says, I'm speaking the words that my Father gave me. And of course, he's saying God the Father, right? It's not Joseph. It's God the Father that gave me these words that I am teaching, that I am laying down for you today. John chapter 12, verse 49. I did not speak on my own initiative, but the Father himself has given me a commandment what to say and what to speak. Jesus says, my words are coming from the Father. John 14, verse 10. The words I say unto you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his works. Jesus constantly attributing the fact that God is working in him, through him, to give these things. John 14, verse 24. The word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. Now, I understand that many of us here, we don't question the fact that the Bible is God's word. I think it's important for us to realize how often and in how many different ways God says, this is my word. This is my commandment to you. This is what I'm asking of you. This is what I'm telling you. This is what I am giving to you. And Jesus is saying, I've received it from the Father, and I'm giving it directly to you. John 17 and verse 8, the words which you gave me, I have given to them. That's in John chapter 17. If you haven't done it, that's a great prayer to study, where Jesus is praying to the Father, and he's at that point of going to the cross and those things happening, and he goes before him and he prays. And he says all these things, and within that he says, the words which you gave me, I have given to them. Jesus spoke the words. He says, God gave me the words. I communicated what my Father told me to communicate. When you look at the Scripture that's been written down for us, what's communicated? What God wanted to be communicated. Jesus promised he would give the words he got from the Father to his apostles, and he was going to give them help to do this. John chapter 16 and verse 7. It is to your advantage, as he's speaking to his disciples, that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper shall not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Who is the Helper? The Holy Spirit. The Helper that would come, that would help them to remember the things that they needed to remember. Look at John 14, verse 26. The Holy Spirit will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. And think about that for a moment. They've spent a few years walking around with Jesus. He's done some amazing works. He's done some amazing miracles and wonders. And he's taught a lot of lessons. Do you think they're going to remember everything? Do you remember everything I said? I didn't think so. Of course, I'm not Jesus speaking, but they're not going to remember everything on their own. And so sending the Holy Spirit was important to do that very thing, to bring them the remembrance that they needed, to give what he said. John 16, verse 12, I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. And Jesus says, I've got more to give. There's more that I can give to you. There's more that I can say. But right now is not the time. You're not ready for it yet. And so the Helper, the Holy Spirit, is going to give them more of those things. John 16, verse 13, the Spirit of truth will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. So notice that. God is working through Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, to give what needs to be spoken. The fact that this is God's word is impressive to me. And it should be to you. I think we take it lightly every day to recognize that we have sitting in our living rooms, on our shelves, on our coffee tables, in our offices, in our cars, wherever you keep a Bible, you have God's word sitting there. The creator of the universe, his words, at your fingertips. And it's not just the books. Well, we've got some pretty cool little computers in our pockets that we can do a search and we can find all different translations of his word to read and to know. It's pretty impressive to me that we have this and that he made the effort to give us all of this. John 17, verse 8, the words which you gave me, I have given to them. Once again, 16:25, I will tell you plainly of the Father. Mark 13:11, do not be anxious beforehand about what you are to say, for it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. Reminding the disciples, the apostles, that were going to receive the Holy Spirit and be able to speak, like on the day of Pentecost with Peter and the other apostles that are speaking in tongues, and people are looking around and going, how can I hear them in my own native tongue, in my own native language? Are they not Galileans? Are they not the uneducated people? Yeah, how were they able to do that? Because of the Holy Spirit. Because God has given them the ability to do that. And they were ready and willing to do it. How did the Holy Spirit inspire the messages? So some people think that, and there's a lot of different ideas, but this is one, you know, just how did the Holy Spirit inspire the messages? Was it just this thought concept? Did he give them a thought, and then the people that wrote down just used their own words to write down some thought that he gave? You know, the ideas of Scripture were given by the Spirit. The speaker or the writer expressed these thoughts by words of his own choosing. Well, I think there's an objection to that. We can't really think or express thought without words. You know, we can't think or express without the words that we use. And so, if the Holy Spirit's going to be communicating thought, he's going to be communicating thought with words, right? And the words to be written down. And so, you know, we can't do mathematics without having the figures. We can't write music without notes. And so, God has always given the words, but not always the thoughts. And here's some points to look at. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. And start with me starting in verse 10. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. Therefore, I will be ready to remind you of these things, and even you already know them and have been established in the truth. Maybe I am in the wrong spot. you all are thinking, what is he reading? I was sitting there reading the same thing going, I don't know what I'm reading. All right, 1 Peter, not 2nd, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10 and 11. As to this salvation, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that would come to you made careful searches and inquiries, seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating as he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. Well, what did that say? They didn't always receive the thought, but they received the message to deliver. And so then you see them, it says that they're making careful searches and inquiries. Sometimes the prophets are given the message and they're saying, wait a second, what exactly does that mean? what exactly does that mean is going to be happening in the future? When is this going to happen? They weren't always given everything. It was, here's the message, here's the words that you need to give. Okay, turn over to Daniel chapter 12 and maybe I can get there too this time. Daniel chapter 12, verses 8 and 9. Daniel relaying to us, he says, as for me, I heard, but could not understand. So I said, my Lord, what will be the outcome of these events? He said, go your way, Daniel, for these words are concealed and sealed up until the end time. And so you have these men who are receiving and being inspired by the Holy Spirit, receiving the words, being communicated with by God. And they're writing these words down and they're doing these things. But even here, Daniel says, I heard, but they didn't quite understand, right? And so just because the words were written down by these men didn't mean that they always understood what they were writing and what it meant, when it was going to happen, all those things. And it's pretty powerful to help you understand the fact that they were inspired and it wasn't, I'm just going to make up my own thing. It was, okay, hold on, God. What exactly did you just say? what exactly do you mean by that? I'm not saying that happened every time. I'm pretty sure they could pick up on a number of things. But the fact that even those writing it down didn't always understand what they were writing, what it meant, what they were looking forward to. So God didn't always communicate the thought or his thoughts, but he communicated the message that needed to be given. And so, how did the Holy Spirit inspire the messages? Word for word. He's given them the words. And so some people say, well, if it's word for word, then there's a problem. Because we can tell that these men wrote in their own style, right? Well, this process doesn't necessarily mean that their style is gone. It doesn't destroy the style or their vocabulary. The personality of the writer is shown in the Bible because inspiration is not over style, but words used. And the styles, there's all kinds of critics as they look at Scripture and they try to say, well, how come Moses wrote this way in Genesis and then it seems like a completely different writer picked up in Leviticus? Well, it's not just the fact that he's the writer, it's what he's writing. There's different messages being communicated. You know, one's communicating a bunch of priestly laws, and another one's communicating some history of the world and what God's delivering and the laws and different things going on. And so even just what's needing to be written is different. And so the style is different. So it doesn't necessarily destroy the fact that they can't have their own style just because the Spirit is giving them the words that are needed. And so this accounts for differences in vocabulary by the same author. You know, the exact words are important. Let's look at an example. In Exodus chapter 3 and verse 6. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 6. When Moses is told he needs to go to Pharaoh and give this message and let my people go. And he says, what am I supposed to say? Who do I say sent me? And, you know, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You know, who are you? I am, has sent you, right? Well, later on in the book of Matthew, in Matthew chapter 22 and verse 32, you have Jesus saying that God is the God of the living, not the dead. And what evidence does he show for that? Exodus 3 verse 6. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had died physically. They weren't around in Exodus chapter 3. But Jesus says it's important for you to realize that he still is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They are still living, not here on earth in the physical form, but they are still alive. And so you see how the words matter, the tenses matter within Scripture. It's important to note those things. And so as we look at this, the inspired New Testament writers claim the words are not from them, but from God's Spirit. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2 with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. First Corinthians 2, starting in verse 10. For to us God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. And then, of course, we've already mentioned 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21, that men spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And so it's clear that the Bible claims a number of times that it is inspired by God, that it is God's Word. But it's important to know that it's not just saying, well, this is God's Word. But it says it in multiple ways. And you have these writers saying, we received it from the Spirit of God. We were moved by Him. We didn't even always know what it was we were speaking. And yet, we spoke the words. And so it claims to be totally inspired by God. And if it's true, if it's truly inspired by God, which I believe it is, and we'll look at more evidence next week, but that makes it authoritative in everything that it teaches. It means it has authority because it's from your Creator, it's from my Creator, and I need to listen to what He says, and I need to do what He tells me to do. So don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. Satan got to Eve. He got to Adam. And he used God's word to do it. And he said, "Nah, I'm not sure that's exactly what God said." You know, when we look at God's word, if it's His, we better follow it. If we believe the evidence, and the evidence is constantly piling up to say that this is God's communication to man, then I better make sure that I'm doing what He says. And tonight, if you're willing to do what He says, that means not only are you ready to confess Him before men, to say that Jesus is the Son of God, that he is alive, that He is reigning, that He is King, that He is Lord, but you're ready to put Him on through baptism. You're ready to get rid of this old man of sin and start living and walking a new life in Him. If you've already done those things, but you've slipped back, you've started to drift away, and you haven't been doing what you know God says to do in His Word, and you need help to make it right, please come forward while we stand and while we sing.